All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Now, the Apostle Paul was setting the record straight as to why he did not come to Corinth. And he wrote this in verse 23. He said, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth." The reason he didn't come was to spare them the rod, to spare them rebuke and chastening. He had rebuked them pretty heavily in that first letter. And so he's given them time now to correct those things that he spoke about so that he could come to them in peace and joy and meekness rather than with a rod. And he says in verse 24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand." Now Christ's true preachers, those that he sends, are given by Christ to be a help to his people, to help us in the joy of believing on Christ. And the reason it is because you stand by faith. You notice in verse 24 the word "for," it means because. And so he's saying here, we're helpers of your joy, the joy of believing, because by faith ye stand. Faith is very important. So he said, we're helpers of your joy because by faith ye stand. And we'll just take those three divisions in verse 24, and that'll be our divisions for our message. Now, first of all, Christ's true preachers do not have lordship over the believer's faith. His true preachers do not have lordship over the believer's faith. He said there in verse 24, "Not for that we have dominion." That word is lordship. "Not that we have dominion over your faith." Now, wherever you find preachers not preaching Christ, it is because they don't believe Christ. Now, that's just fact. And where they don't preach Christ, you'll also find that they're going to be lording over the people. They always go together. Where they don't preach Christ, they lord over the people. They don't submit to Christ's dominion themselves, because He hasn't taken dominion in their heart. And so what they do is they try to exercise a dominion over the people to produce a form of obedience, a form of obedience that's outward. And Christ said when that happens, he said they've created an outward form. And it appears to be obedience outwardly. But inwardly, it's just a dead rebel against God. Now that's what we saw in the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are a picture of what goes on in our day. Most aren't preaching Christ. And they preach do's and don'ts. They preach touch not and taste not. And they are constantly disciplining people into obedience. And sadly, most people in so-called Christianity thinks that is what Christianity is. But here's the truth of the matter. There's only one that has dominion in the heart of a believer, a true believer, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He does have lordship over His people. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5, we read, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, unto Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has the dominion. He does have the lordship over the faith of His people. Jesus Christ is God's faithful witness. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore witness of God's holiness. On the cross, He bore witness that when He took the sin of His people and bore the fierce fury of God's wrath, He declared God just. He showed that God will not clear the guilty. He will not save His people at the expense of His justice. And at the same time, He bore witness to God's mercy. He showed that it's God who justifies His people. He's the justifier, justifying His people there in Christ on the cross. And because He did that, He satisfied God. Christ satisfied God by His obedience. We could never do that by our obedience. We were disobedient in Adam, but by His obedience, He satisfied God. And for that reason, God the Father exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the first begotten of the dead. We're talking about the God-man. The first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. That means God exalted Him. God gave Him a place of preeminence. We read about it in Ephesians 1:21. Let's go there and read this again. Ephesians 2:21. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1:21. God raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's dominion, brethren. He has power and dominion over all power and dominion. And look at verse 22. And it's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That means He does have the dominion over His church, His people. So in time, He sends the Holy Spirit to us, the gospel to us, and the Holy Spirit gives us life, and Christ takes dominion in the heart. He takes dominion in the heart. By what He did on the cross, it says in Romans 6, sin shall not have the dominion over you because you're under grace, not under law. And by what Christ has done in the heart, the sin of our flesh won't have dominion over you because Christ has the lordship over His people. Now that's scriptural. That's true. He's the Lord. Unto Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And when He takes the dominion in the heart of His child, that's who we glory in. We say unto Him, be glory and dominion. And we don't just say it, we bow to Him. We bow to Him. Because that's what His dominion makes us willing to do, is to bow to Him. And so having redeemed His people from the bondage of the law, and having come to us and taken dominion in the heart of His child, our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to allow anybody that He redeemed to be brought back into bondage ever again. He's not going to allow anybody for whom He died to be brought back under bondage to anyone. That's not going to happen. And it's going to be because He will see to it that it will not happen. And so He teaches you and I who believe sweetly, effectually in our hearts. And He says, be not ye called rabbi, For one is your master, even Christ. We have one Lord, one master, and that's Christ. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that will be great among you, greatest among you, shall be your servant. That's greatness in God's kingdom. Now, what he said there, when he said that, means much more than that he just will not allow us to take to ourselves ecclesiastical titles. It means a lot more than that. It means Christ will not allow anyone to bring his child under bondage anymore. His children will never be brought calling anybody on this earth rabbi or father, because Christ is our Lord, and he won't allow it. He's not going to let his child come back into bondage again. Christ has the dominion in our hearts. So, rather than sending a preacher to have dominion over our faith, Christ sends his preacher to be a helper of our joy, to help our faith. He said there in verse 24, "But we are helpers of your joy." We're helpers of your joy. It's God who gives joy. He gives joy in the heart of his child. And he does it by giving us the gift of faith in Christ the Lord. Listen to Romans 15:13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." He fills you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He fills us with hope. He fills us with joy. He fills us with peace. And it's by the gift of faith. And all of this is given to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. God is the giver of it. Now turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. You remember this? This is why Christ came. This is the reason he said he came. He said in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." This is Christ speaking. Now, he preached good tidings unto the meek when he walked this earth, but he didn't stop preaching good tidings, glad tidings to the meek then. He's still doing it from heaven's glory. He's doing it through those he sends to be helpers of his joy. But watch what he does through this. He says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God." Both of those happened on the cross. That was the day of vengeance, when he took vengeance in strict fury and justice upon Christ in place of his people. And that was the day of Jubilee. That's when the redemption was accomplished and we were set free by Christ's doing. Now watch this. He says, "To comfort all that mourn in Zion." That's all God's elect for whom Christ died, who he redeemed. And he said, "I've been sent to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." We're going to see Paul talk about heaviness in a minute. He's going to give the garment of praise for the spirit of sorrow. That's what it means. "That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And so when the gospel came forth and he sent that helper of our joy to preach the word, Christ preached those glad tidings into our hearts effectually. Just like he told his disciples. He told his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." When he starts speaking into your heart through the gospel, and you hear that redemption has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ for you, so that you're no more under the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you. When He makes you to know that in your heart, He gives you the oil of joy in a place of mourning. When you hear that He has worked a righteousness for you by His obedience and given it freely to you, because you could not work a righteousness, He replaces that mourning with that great joy that you have in Christ. He makes us to see that everything we could not do, everything that was required by us to be holy and righteous as God is holy and righteous, everything necessary, He's done it. And He is it. So that He gives it to you freely. And when He does, then He gives you this joy. He speaks these words and He gives you great joy. And He brings you out from where you were. You know, we were in this thing of with these folks lording over us and preaching, do this and don't do that, and touch this and don't touch that, and this, that, and the other. And He comes and makes you see, I've taken every one of God's ordinances out of the way and nailed them to the cross. I have fulfilled the law so fully that you are complete in Me. And when He makes you see that, that's when, for the very first time, the kingdom of God ceases to be meat and drink. It ceases to be do and don't. And am I keeping up appearances? And I don't want to let the preacher catch me. I don't let my brethren see me. I better act this way or that way because I don't want to let down my appearance. He lets you know the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And for the first time, you have joy. That's how His people are helpers, His preachers are helpers of His joy. Because the preacher He sends to preach, this is going to be the case every time God sends a gospel preacher. The preacher He sends will have already experienced this same joy, and it will have been given to him the same way. That is, through this message, this glad tidings of Christ's victorious redemption accomplished. And so you know how the joy came. The Apostle Paul knew how this joy came because Christ had arrested him on the road to Damascus and preached these glad tidings to him personally. And so he knew. Christ had sent him to Corinth, and he said, when I came to Corinth, He said, I came there and I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came there determined to do nothing but preach Christ and Him crucified to you. That's all. Because Christ's preacher knows it by experience. He knows by experience this. Now tell me this. The first hour that God gave you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was the message you were hearing? Was it not the message of the faithful work accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? That's what Paul called the hearing of faith. He said, how was the Spirit of God given to you? How were you given faith? Was it by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? It wasn't by the works of the law. It was by hearing of Christ's faith and fidelity to God. That's how He gave it. Well, if that was how He gave us faith in the first hour, that's how He's going to continue to increase your joy and grow you in grace and knowledge of Christ and bring you to obey and follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of your hours. That's how He does it. The same way, with the same exact message. And Christ's helpers know this. Christ's helpers know that's the case. And so, we don't come trying to have dominion over your faith, but to be helpers of your joy. First and foremost, Paul was a helper of joy by preaching Christ and Him crucified. But another way he was a helper of their joy was he made certain, and this is what a faithful helper will do, he'll make certain that God's people know that it's not by the dominion of men usurping authority over them by which they have true faith, but it's by the power of God. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, I wasn't trying to coerce you in some way into believing by, and at the same time, not preaching the gospel to you. He said, I preached the gospel to you in demonstration of spirit and of power. And I did it that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. See, this thing about faith. You stand by faith. There's two ways to look at that. There's the grace of faith. The grace of faith. In other words, none of Christ's ministers can give any sinner the gift of faith. That's a grace of God. Given to you by God. It's a gift of God. And no preacher can give that. And God's preachers know they can't do that. So what do? They preach the gospel in clarity and sincerity according to the Scriptures and wait on God to give His people faith by His power. Well, another thing about this grace of faith is no man can grow another believer in faith. I can't grow any believer in faith in Christ. I can't cause you to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. So what do? You preach Christ, who is the head, from whom all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment ministered, and knit together and increase with the increase of God. That's what Christ does. As the gospel is being preached to those that already know it, why would you come? Once you already have faith and you're already resting in Christ, why come and hear of Him again? Because He's continuing to minister nourishment to you and increase you in faith in Him. And with faith, with the increase of faith, comes an increase of joy in Him. Well, knowing that no preacher can effectually rule in the heart of God's child, we can't give you that. We can't work that dominion over your faith in the heart. And so what does God's helper do? What does Christ's helper do? He preaches that God the Holy Spirit has dominion in the heart of those that in whom He dwells and over that old sinful flesh, so that old sinful flesh cannot do what you would do. That's what Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how come? Because as the flesh lusts against the Spirit will have dominion over the flesh and will not allow you to do the things that you would do. It won't allow you to do what you would do if He left you to yourself. And sometimes He withdraws enough to let us see what we would do if He left us to ourselves. To teach us we need His Spirit. And so God's preacher declares this. He declares this in truth. Well, then there's another way to look at this thing of faith, and that's the object of faith. In other words, the word and doctrine of Christ which we preach. No preacher that Christ sends has any, no preacher does for that matter, but Christ preacher knows it. He has no authority to preach any new article of faith or any new word that other than what is right here recorded in this book. And so he does what the Apostle Peter said. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Speak what God spoke. Speak what God's Word says. And that's what he does. Now there's another way Christ's pastor is a helper, and it's not nearly as pleasant to the pastor. Not nearly as pleasant to the pastor. Paul also helped them by rebuking them and correcting them. We saw it all in that first letter. And he dealt with some pretty serious things in that first letter, and he dealt very bluntly and boldly in it, in that letter. But turn over to Hebrews 13. I want to show you something. Now, if a person doesn't have discernment, they don't have spiritual discernment, and not taught in the heart by Christ having dominion, then when they hear the words that his faithful pastor has the authority to rebuke and to correct, They're going to say, well, that sounds a lot like lording over God's people. That sounds like lording over God's people to me. Well, there's a difference between lording over God's people and having the rule over you. To have the rule over Christ's sheep means that Christ has given authority to lead His people to Christ. That's what it means. He hasn't given authority to lord over and try to affect some kind of obedience in them. He's given authority to lead them to Christ. Now let me show you here. We see the difference right here in Hebrews 13:7. He says, remember them which have the rule over you. See there? They remember them have the rule over you. Not dominion over your faith. Remember them that have the authority given by Christ to lead you. Watch this. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. There's the difference. There's the difference. Those that Christ gives, His truth preachers, they're going to preach the word of God to you. Not their own word, not their own commandments, not a church creed and a half a dozen things that a church body believes you ought to obey. He's going to preach God's word to you. And then he says this, whose faith follow. There's a difference. There's a difference. They set an example in that they themselves obey and submit to Christ and follow Christ. Look at this. Considering the end of their conversation, the end of their conduct. What is the end? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There's a difference. There's a difference. God's faithful pastor has a constraint and the end motive being the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference in one who has the rule over and one who is unfaithfully a rebel lording over God's people. Look here, down at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obey them by obeying Christ's word which they've spoken to you. And submit yourselves by submitting yourselves to Christ. You see that? Obey by obeying the word of Christ that they spoke to you. They're just a vessel speaking the word. How do you obey? Obey the word Christ spoke. Obey His word. How do you submit? Submit to Christ. Submit to Christ. What? Watch this now. Here's another difference. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. There's a difference. They're not doing it for personal profit. They're not doing it to fleece you. They're not doing it for any other motive other than this. They look out for your souls. They know. They stand before God. How did Paul start this? He said, God is my witness. You don't say something like that unless it's a very serious accusation, which it was with Paul. And he was saying, God bears me record that the reason I did not come was to spare you. It was to spare you. It was to give you time to correct these things so that when I came, I wouldn't have to come with a rod. I wouldn't have to come correcting and chastening. I could come rejoicing, enjoying in the fact that you indeed are obedient to Christ. It's not for a people to be obedient just to a man that makes God's preacher have joy. It's to see them obedient to Christ that gives you joy. That's what gives you joy. I don't want to see anybody profess a false profession of faith in Christ, which is obedience and submission to Christ. He said, follow Him in baptism. But I don't want anybody to do that falsely simply because something I preach to them. I want to see them do it because they're obedient to Christ. That gives me great joy. Great joy. But look here what he says now. He says, and you do this that they may do it with joy and not with grief. That they may watch for your soul and minister to you with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Now that's exactly why Paul said he didn't come. That's why he said he waited to come to Corinth, was to spare them, give them time for Christ to work obedience in their hearts, and so that they corrected the matters that need to be corrected, so that when he came, he would rejoice with them. Look here, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 2 and we'll read it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Remember, Christ gives us the garment of praise for heaviness, for sorrow. And he said, I'm not coming to you again in heaviness with a rod and causing you sorrow. He said, for if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? Who's going to make me rejoice but the same which is made sorry by me? You know, see what he's saying? I don't want to see you made sorry. Who's going to make me rejoice? Where am I going to find my rejoicing then? Look, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. And I wrote this having confidence in you all, that my joy is of you all. In other words, I wrote this with confidence that you would indeed obey every word, because not because it was the word of the Apostle Paul, because it was the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. And he said, and I was waiting so that when I came, I would find you obedient to Christ and my joy would be full. We would rejoice together. Now, thirdly, let's go back to our text. Why does Christ make his ministers faithful helpers? He does it to turn us from error to Christ alone. That's what he's doing it for. To turn us from every error, everything that comes between us and Christ, and to turn us to Christ alone. Why? Why is that so important? Because by faith you stand. There's nothing as important to a believer as resting in Christ by faith. By faith we stand. The Scripture says this. Now, Christ is the object of our faith. He's the object in whom we stand. Scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen if one of us here starts trying to walk by sight rather than by faith, rather than trust in the Lord? What's going to happen? The Lord's going to send His Word through His preacher and make it effectual in your heart and turn you from walking by sight and turn you again to walk by faith in Christ. That's exactly what He's going to do, because by faith you stand. You stand by faith. Well, another Scripture says that, speaking of the natural sons of Abraham, they were cut off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. And so He says, be not high-minded, but fear. Reference God. And remember now, we depend entirely upon God. So what's going to happen then if one of His children starts getting puffed up and high-minded and thinking he's somebody when he's nobody? What's going to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to send a word through His helper, and He's going to speak that word into your heart and bring you down. He may do it in the court of your conscience first, and then, if it need be, use providence to do it as well. But He will bring His child down so that we walk by faith, because you stand by faith. Well, the Scripture says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, Paul said, which also you've received and wherein you stand. Well, what if one of God's people starts taking for granted the gospel? What if he starts thinking that he can stand in some other way, by his works or by something he's done or something of that nature? What's going to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to send that gospel to him boldly and speak boldly into his heart and say, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, and he'll make it effectual. Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What's going to happen if one of his sheep starts getting drunk with the cares of this world and is not vigilant anymore, and he's not paying attention, and he's not looking to Christ and staying near to the shepherd? What's Christ going to do? He's going to send forth the word, and he's going to make it effectual in the heart, and he's going to say, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, and having the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation." He's going to clothe you in the armor of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in every case, the reason Christ, he does not give men to usurp dominion over your faith. And the reason is because you stand by faith. And when a man starts usurping dominion over another man, that's law. And that man who has dominion usurped over him starts trying to walk by law. And the law is not of faith. Just not. So he doesn't send folks to have dominion over the faith of his people, because by faith you stand. And the reason he sends his preachers to be helpers of your joy is because using them to speak his word, Christ removes whatever comes between you and him. Whatever comes between us and him, he'll remove it. And he'll bring us back to his feet to rest in him by faith. And so after Christ's word, after he gave his word through Paul, and he rebuked his brethren at Corinth in that first letter, Paul didn't come to visit them right away. He didn't come to visit them right away because he knew his flesh. And he knew if he did that, he found them not obeying. He knew what he was out to do. And so he waited like a faithful man. He waited. Most of preaching is waiting. That's what most of preaching is about, waiting. You say the same thing over and over and over. And you think, you know, you kind of start having that thought of, well, I shouldn't say this again. I've said it this way, or, you know, I've just said this over and over and over. Well, you go and say it one more time, and that'll be the time that somebody come up and say, "I have never heard you say that before." The Lord made them hear it. He made them hear it. And that you had to wait on that. And that's what preaching is. Preaching is declaring the word and waiting on God to work. And so Paul did that. He waited. Waited for the Lord to correct to rebuke them in their hearts so that they willingly corrected those errors. And so when Paul could go, him and his brethren could once again rejoice together in faith. They could rejoice in Christ together. Paul is not saying he rejoiced in them rather than Christ. He's saying he rejoiced in them because of what Christ did in them, bringing them to obedience to it. And that's our rejoicing in one another. Don't you rejoice, you parents, you rejoice when your child obeys you, don't you? Well, it's the same thing. You see a dear brother obey the Lord Jesus Christ, that rejoices your heart just the same way. And that's why he makes us wait. Be a helper of your joy. All right, brethren, Brother Eric, you come and lead us in a closing hymn, and you close in prayer when you get finished.